Hello everybody, this is Miguel Gonzalez. You've tuned in once again to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next 30 minutes studying God's Word along with us. We will continue today our series entitled The Pursuit of Christ, the series in which we're looking at principles that true disciples exemplify in their lives as they pursue Jesus. We're trying to find out what it means to pursue Christ, how Christ desires to be pursued because of who he is and because of what he has done on our behalf. Now, we talked about exalting Christ in the first few shows, and this is the fourth lesson in the second principle, which is true disciples love Christ. We already saw that mature love is a tested love, and that brokenness is a love requirement. Thirdly, we started last week talking about the fact that love is another principle. Love is made possible by grace. And we were looking at John chapter 21. And the first thing we saw in looking at those verses is that Christ is the one who sought Peter out. In other words, Christ looks for us. He comes to us where we are. And where we are, he tells us that he accepts us, but expects us that from that point on, we grow and mature in our faith and reach the potential that he has that he expects us to reach, as we recognize that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and with God living in us, we have unlimited potential. The second thing I want to notice is not only that Christ looks for us, but Christ provides for us. If you look again in John 21, and verse 12, it says there that Jesus stated, "Come and have breakfast." Not only does Jesus come looking for us, not only does Jesus meet us where we are, but he comes to us where we are and makes provision for us where we are. And in this story, it says that Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." Not only did Christ come after Peter again, but he prepared breakfast for him. And this is a wonderful picture of servant leadership. Jesus came to Peter, Jesus comes to us, and Jesus served Peter. Jesus serves us when he comes to meet us at the place where we are spiritually. Grace was making provision for Peter and the others. Don't miss what God is doing here. Listen, he was preparing Peter to receive grace. During this whole time, I have to believe that the one thing that was a constant thought to him was the fact that he had denied Jesus three times. But in spite of the fact that he had denied Jesus and deserted Jesus, Jesus was going to provide for his needs. He is a grace-giving. Listen to me. Jesus is a grace-giving and forgiving Savior. Perfectly illustrated in this story in the Gospel of John. You see, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Peter had just denied his Savior three times. He denied knowing Jesus in spite of the fact that he had told Jesus that if he was required to die for him, he would. Yet Christ comes looking for Peter, as he does us, and Christ makes provision for Peter, as he does for us, and by grace he gives us that which we don't deserve. As one preacher eloquently said, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, Justice is God giving us what we do deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And certainly Peter must have thought he did not deserve what he was getting. But God, or Jesus, is a grace-giving and forgiving Savior. So we know for a fact from this story that Christ looks for us, Christ provides for us. A third point I want to make from this passage is that Christ reaches down to us. Let's go back to what transpired between Jesus and Peter in verses 15 through 17 of John 21, when Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. Twice, Jesus asked Peter if he agapo him. And Peter responded, "I phileo you." And as I said in the previous message, Jesus essentially said, "Peter, if that is all you can do right now, I will accept it." Grace, listen to me, grace is God reaching down when we can't come up and lifts us up. This is where Peter was. And this is often where we find ourselves. Don't be discouraged when you are at your lowest point if you're a child of God. Because Jesus will come looking for you, and He will provide for you, and He will reach down to you, and in His grace, He will reach down and lift you up to the place you can't lift yourself up. That is grace. Peter experienced the grace of Christ, and his life from that point on was never the same. He went from the phileo level of love to the agapo level of love, and the rest of his life was evidence and proof of that. And that is what God wants to do in our lives. He will accept us where we are. And where we are, He will extend His grace. And in His grace, He will tell us that and teach us and take us from where we are to a place where we will never, ever be the same. Now listen, I don't want anybody to confuse grace with self-indulgence. Because you know there's going to be people out there who say, "Well, if God is all forgiven and if all my sins are forgiven, I can do whatever I want." If you're one of those people who says you can do whatever you want because those sins are already forgiven, let me tell you something, friend. None of your sins have been forgiven, because nobody who knows Jesus and has experienced Jesus would even consider uttering such words. Anybody who believes that he can do whatever he wants as a Christian because his sins have been forgiven needs to examine himself, as Paul said, to see whether you are in the faith to start with. And I would probably guess or discern that none of your sins have been forgiven. Grace cannot be confused with self-indulgence. Listen to me. The purpose of grace is to find us where we are and not leave us there. Grace finds us where we are, reaches down to us, and lifts us up where God wants us to be. Peter's life after this encounter was never the same, and he finally grew out of phileo into agapo. And at the end of his life, he ended up dying for his Savior. The last point I want to make about this is that Christ restores us. He first looks for us. He then provides for us. He reaches down for us, and then he restores us. Listen, grace reached down to Peter where he was in order to restore him and lift him up where God wanted him to be. God had a plan for Peter. God was not done with Peter. Even though Peter thought he was not worthy, God was telling Peter, yes, you have failed, but I love you. You are my child. I will reach down to you, and I, by my grace, will restore you. And that's what God wants to do for us. Yes, we will fail God. Yes, we will sin. Because Christians aren't perfect. But when we fail and when we sin, in His grace, Christ wishes to restore us because He has a plan for us. To Peter, it must have seemed that God was through with him. What can God do with me after I've denied Him three times? Remember the words Jesus spoke to Peter? We read these earlier. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. But listen, and when you have turned back, not only did God know that he was going to face opposition and that he would fail, but he knew that he would come back to Peter and restore Peter. And he prophesied that when he told Peter that when you come back, strengthen your brothers. And he did that. You know how he strengthened his brothers, and you know how Peter strengthens us out of his own experience? He wrote two very practical epistles. Now, yes, the author is God, but God allows the writers to infuse their personality and experiences. God knew. God has a plan for you. God wants to restore you. But you must be willing to allow God to do that. Now, notice this. Don't miss what God wants us to see and learn from this passage. 4 points I want to make. Notice that Jesus prayed for faith. Listen, notice that Jesus prayed for faith. Jesus never prayed for the removal of the trial. He never prayed for the removal of the trial. He just prayed for faith. Why does God allow trials to come into our lives? Because trials tests our love. And when we overcome those trials in the strength of Christ, we prove to be mature in our love. Testing, trials, take us from phileo to agapo. He never prayed for the removal of the test. He prayed for faith. Secondly, Jesus knew Peter would fail. You know what that says to me? That God knows beforehand what is going to happen to me and what opposition I am going to encounter, what trials I'm going to face in my life. We should be listening to what God says, because oftentimes, before we find ourselves in the messes we find ourselves, God has warned us previously, but we're not listening. He knew Peter would fail, and in fact, he told Peter he would fail. And I don't believe Peter failed because God said he would fail. God knew he would fail. That was the choice Peter was going to make. Thirdly, Jesus also knew that once Peter had experienced God's grace, he would choose to pursue Christ as his life's goal. When Jesus came back down to Peter, when Jesus came to where Peter was, and when Jesus lavished him with all of that grace changed Peter forever, and Peter's life's goal became to pursue Christ with every fiber of his being. Jesus was his life. Is Jesus our life? Or is he just a part of our life? Have we compartmentalized our faith? He is everything. And God's grace made that clear to Peter. And Peter understood it and was never the same. Fourthly, Jesus already had a special plan and purpose for Peter's life, as he does for you. And he noted that in part of that verse, as well as from the exchange he had with Peter in John 21:15-19. Listen to what he said. Strengthen your brothers. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. God had a plan for Peter. And he told Peter what that plan was. He was to be a pastor. He was to be one who would strengthen the brethren, who would feed the lambs, who would take care of the sheep. God has a plan for your life. Don't let the devil put you down and allow you to, or convince you that you are worthless and God is done with you. Allow the grace of Christ to come and lift you into his presence and into a place where God wants you to be. He doesn't want us to sin or fail, but we will. And John 21 clearly teaches us that failure doesn't cancel God's grace. God's grace is greater. In spite of failure, Peter learned that God, by his grace, will restore him and put him back on track. Peter went from phileo to agapo, and he became one of the most prominent, important, and influential figures in all of church history. By God's grace, Peter went from denying Jesus in John 18. Listen to me. By God's grace, Peter went from denying Jesus in John 18 to being the bold preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts 2. He was radically transformed by God's grace. He experienced God's grace. He experienced the love of Christ. He made it a goal in his own life to love Christ with agape love. And we see the transformation of that man in Scripture. And like I said, he went from denying Jesus in John 18 to becoming a bold preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2. Listen, if we are going to agapo Jesus, we are going to have to experience God's grace through our brokenness and repentance. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you were broken? When was the last time you found yourself at wit's end and you came to Jesus broken and allowed Jesus to come to you, to provide for you, to reach down to you, and to lift you up by his grace? When was the last time you truly repented of your sin? Asking Jesus to forgive you without repenting is meaningless. Because all you're doing is asking Jesus to forgive you for something that you're going to do again and again and again is not repentance. I know we all do that. We are all guilty of a sin or two sins. We are all guilty of being weak in an area where we claim to be repentant about and we claim to want to change, but we don't. We all have an area in our life in which we have failed to submit or surrender that area to the Lordship of Christ. And we become mediocre Christians because only a part of us wants to live the way Jesus wants us to live for Him. The other part is consumed by the world. I know this to be a fact in the life of most people, most Christians I know. We wake up on any given day, we are reminded of who we are. I mean, our identity as children of God doesn't fade away. We're reminded of who we are. But when we go out into the world and trials begin to come and opposition, we're faced with opposition and temptation comes, we get so wrapped up with the things of the world and the things that we give so much priority to that at the end of the day, if God is lucky, He gets the leftovers. It must break the heart of God to see His children, whom He loves, whom became His children by virtue of God the Son dying for us on the cross. It must break His heart when we come to God and actually boast about the fact that we have given Him the leftovers. True disciples love Christ. Loving Christ is part of your pursuit of Christ. But you don't get to define love. God defines it. We adopt it and live it and experience it and express it. We have been touched by the grace of God. We have been touched by the mercy of God. Yet in many cases, as Christians, we walk around moping. Worse than people who are hopeless. You know why? In spite of the fact that God reaches down to extend grace, we even miss that. We don't even see, we are oblivious to the fact that God is coming to where we are so He can lift us up. Because again, all we can think about is ourselves and pity about our tribulations and trials and temptations. If we're going to successfully love Christ the way He calls us to, we're going to have to let grace take over, folks. We are going to have to let grace take over. Loving God sacrificially is central to the pursuit of Christ. We cannot pursue Christ until He becomes the absolute love of our lives. Until we come to the point where we love Him more than all else, including life itself. Well, we've come to the end of this lesson, and actually we've come to the end of this principle of love. Next week we will go to the next. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Oh, we thank You, You're a gracious God and a forgiving God. May we recognize those instances in which You reach down with Your grace to lift us up off out of the pit that we find ourselves in. May we be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. We love You, Lord, in spite of the fact that our definition of love doesn't always match up with Yours. Teach us that we may grow in our faith. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, founder and president of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for joining us. We certainly look forward to spending 30 minutes each week with all of you. We would encourage you to contact us, send us a letter, let us know what God is doing in your life as a result of this ministry. We are certainly grateful to the Lord for giving us here at Reasons for Faith International Ministries the opportunity to serve both Him and you through these various radio and television programs. Once again, this is a listener-supported ministry. We remain on the air on this station because of your continued prayers and your continued financial support. We want to thank those of you who have already partnered with us. We are very grateful. This is a 100% listener-supported ministry. The entire operating budget of this ministry is funded by God's people. So we are grateful for those of you who have already partnered with us and continually and consistently pray for us. For those of you who have not yet partnered with us, would you please prayerfully consider joining those who have. God will richly bless you, and you will certainly receive a blessing by those whose lives are touched because of your contributions and your prayers. Again, you can receive messages of any of our programs. You need to let us know the date on which you heard the program, as well as the call letters of the radio station on which you heard it. That way we will be certain to send you the one that you want. Further details will be upcoming about the entire series, The Pursuit of Christ, being made available in a complete set. I want to give you our contact information in a few moments, so please avail yourself of pen and paper. Share this information with your friends. Share this program's information with your friends so that they too may be blessed by God as they join us each week as we continue this fabulous series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Well, if you have a pen and paper handy, our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you wish to send us an email, you could do it to truthtoliveby, all one word, at rffiministries.org. For any resource request, please send your correspondence to Truth to Live By or Reasons for Faith International Ministries, either one, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Don't forget to visit us online. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. We have some fantastic resources online. You can go to our website and visit the different links we have to other Christian ministries and organizations that have been very helpful to others. And there are a number of well-written articles by many scholars and Bible experts that undoubtedly will help you as you continue to grow in your faith. Once again, thank you so much for joining us this week. We look forward to once again meeting with you next week for another 30 minutes of The Pursuit of Christ, this exciting series that from the feedback we're getting, people are receiving it very well, and God is truly ministering to people through this series. So thank you once again, and may God richly bless you. And don't forget, submit to the Spirit so that He may conform you more and more to the image of Christ.